everyone, welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode 51. My name is Matt, and this is the weekly podcast discussing everyday tech for everyday people. Thanks for tuning in this week. As we gear up, the rumor mill has started. We are gearing up for another Apple event coming soon. The rumor mills have been going crazy that there will be, as early as next week, a Apple event releasing new Apple devices. And at the start of today's show, I just wanted to not necessarily talk about all the rumors that are coming out, such as the new claims of iPads being released next week. We never know exactly what it is that is going to be released. But what I want to do to start off today is I want to talk about what I think and what I wish for when it comes to Apple hardware. Now, everybody has their own use case for Apple hardware. And I want to take a look and I want to talk about a few specific things that I haven't seen updated in a long time that I really think need to have some love put back into by Apple. So first of all, what I would love to see is a new Mac Pro. Now, I personally never owned a Mac Pro, but as an Apple fan, the Mac Pro is a machine that is so powerful and so used by the creative community that it's a shame that it hasn't been updated in so long. I really believe that a new Mac Pro with the ability to upgrade the internals of it is an important thing that needs to happen for Apple. I know that there are many audio engineers, graphics designers out there, anybody involved with audio and video production that would be drooling over a new Mac Pro at this point. It's been years since the Mac Pro has been updated, and something to wish for when it comes to new Apple hardware. You know, another thing that I would like to see, I would really love to see a new 5K or even an 8K iMac. The iMacs haven't been updated in a long time, and I know desktop usage is going down for some people, for some companies, most companies now. But again, I think that there's a market for this when it comes to workplaces and people in production. I really think that this is another machine that needs to be refreshed. And even if they don't, sell millions and millions of these devices, just have an option available for people who really need these specific types of computers. I think it's a shame that we've sort of seen these products be abandoned over the last few years. You know, having that 5K display on an iMac gave you the opportunity to edit 4K video and have some room to work with on your screen. And we're just not seeing that. We're seeing, high-resolution monitors and TVs come out. But, when it comes to the great hardware that Apple provides, it seems to be somewhat lackluster lately. Again, I would like to see a refresh of the Mac Minis. I don't remember the last time the Mac Minis have been refreshed. But this doesn't need to be a device that's going to sell off the shelves. We don't need people lining up for new Mac Pros or new 5K iMacs or Mac Minis, but you at least have to make something that's competitive so that, Apple enthusiasts, not fanboys, but Apple enthusiasts, people who enjoy using the Apple hardware, they are able to upgrade their older hardware before they go and move away to other companies like Dell and HP and switch platforms. I think with the rumor mill happening, I think the new round of devices coming up, I think we're going to see new iPads. The rumor seems to be several different iterations of iPads, whether it's 9.7 or 10.5-inch iPads or 12.5-inch iPads. We may see processors being bumped in other computers and things like that, or even a new iPhone SE, that type of thing. But taking a look at iPads and Apple in general, what I would really love to see is more functionality. More functionality when it comes to what I can do. So more features, not less features. More function, not less function. I don't care if my MacBook Pro is a little beefier than my current one. I don't need it to be smaller. I need it to work. And we've talked about this before in this podcast. And I would actually love to see Apple try something with more Thunderbolt ports, more USB ports, and give users what they want rather than what they think users want. And the same thing comes for new things like iPhones and iPads. I want more features, not less features. Just the other day, I was talking with someone about the old videos app on iPhone. And I don't use this app very, very much. But this person did use their video app for home movies on their iPhone and iPad. And luckily, they had only updated their iPhone and now was unable to get their home videos to play in this app that is now called the TV app. And they've been into iTunes. They've checked all the boxes for syncing the videos. And it's just, it's grayed out. No longer a function that's available. And they tried to upgrade to the latest. They just are having a problem when putting movies onto their phone. And they can do it on the iPad. It's an older iPad because they haven't updated it yet. But, this shouldn't happen when it comes to feature releases, new OS upgrades. Earlier this week, I was trying to resolve a problem on my Mac with a few things at school, and something that I could do before connecting to an internal network, I was no longer able to do because I upgraded to the latest Mac OS. And it's really kind of frustrating when you can at one point in time do something and you go back later on and you're no longer able to do it simply because you upgraded your operating system. So looking at things like iPads, which I, in the music world, I find incredibly useful. In fact, I use an iPad mini for live sound production. I carry my iPad around and check mixes and balances of sound during live performances and find them great tools and great resources, as I mentioned earlier, for people who are in creative environments. For most people, they're just consumption devices, and I actually have uses for them in creating things. So I tend to be a little bit more biased about these things, but at the same time, I see how incredibly useful they can be. For example, there's a lot of people out there that don't have the iPad Pro 12.7. I do not have that at all, but I can tell you what I would see as a perfect use for an iPad as a 12.7-inch screen, and that is for reading music digitally. A lot of professional orchestras in the world have digital music reading capabilities, digital music stands. But what I have been looking for is a grant for professional orchestras or organizations, music organizations. If anybody knows out there of a grant where professional music groups can apply to receive numerous amounts of iPad Pros, please let me know. I'm very curious. I've looked around. I'm not really sure what would go into something like that. I'm not very familiar with grants at all, but I would look into my professional group has about 25 members. I would probably need about 25 of them. And it would be absolutely perfect to go paperless for so much music that we go through. And I would love to see these in action. And to me, it's a perfect use case. The screens are a perfect size for reading sheet music. And, these tools, they're out there, they're available. But for organizations to, pay $1,000 for just one iPad Pro it's like, whoa, you know, what can we do? How can we afford to do this? How can we afford to, you know, spend that much money on these types of things? You know, when you can get cheaper devices out there, you know, if there was a real, what I would consider competitive, secure music reading device out there for half that cost, I would go that route. And you know, and I would love to support Apple, and because I see all the benefits that are there. But I also see that with each release, features are being taken away, and that's sort of frustrating on some level as a Apple enthusiast who enjoys the hardware very much so. So I'm hoping when it comes to this next Apple event, you know, see some iPad refreshes. That would be nice. But also give some love to the older desktop computers that have been around for a while and haven't really been given much love, which sort of brings me to my next topic. Now, my next topic is a project that I'm working on, and I've done this before in the past, but really had mixed results, and that is installing Linux on a MacBook Pro. Now, in the past, I had a 2008 MacBook Pro that I sort of dual booted. At one time, I maybe even triple booted. Actually, I did. When I had Mac OS, I had Windows 7 dual booting in boot camp, and at the time, there was a setup where you could actually install Ubuntu inside Windows. I don't remember the name of what it was called. You could actually set up a Ubuntu install as a file inside Windows, and when you rebooted Windows, you could choose either Windows or Ubuntu. Anybody remember that? I can't recall the name of it off the top of my head. It was kind of a neat feature where if you didn't want a dual boot, but you still wanted to mess around with Ubuntu a little bit, you could do that without ruining your system and your setup. And I really enjoyed that. It didn't quite work all that great, but it was actually kind of fun to do and try it. And it worked for what I needed it to do, but you tried to do anything too intensive, you couldn't really do it. I can't recall the name. I wish I could. Sorry. So anyway, I actually had three OSs on my Mac at one point in time, and that was incredibly fun for me at the time. But anytime that I wanted to install Linux, what I tried to do is find the best option for running Linux on a Mac. And what I ultimately ended up doing back then was installing Linux Mint. And I had great success with Linux Mint back then. The only issue that I had was when it came to running fans and things like that, I would have to boot into Mac first. I would have to set my fan speed and restart the computer and have my fans running at a certain speed to keep the computer cool. And that worked for a while, and everything seemed to work okay. Later on, I got a new MacBook as my old one got much older and started slowing down and such. And so since then, I haven't installed Linux on my MacBook Pro. This is a 2013, the first Retina display MacBook. And I've heard mixed reviews on Linux on Mac in the past, and I'm sure you've heard all the discussions based on that. But now that I'm doing some reading, and I'm finding that things like Thunderbolt drivers are included in the Linux kernel now, I'm more apt to try it, and I'm sure that Thunderbolt Ethernet is working. I would be very curious if I could get my audio set up running through Thunderbolt on Linux. That would be my end goal. If I could record in audio under Linux, I would be a very happy camper at that point in time. So I've started to research this topic a little bit more, and I'd like to call out to any audience listeners out there who may be Mac users who also dual boot Mac. And in the past, I used Refit or Refind to install bootloader for Linux. And I'm not sure, I'd have to check on those and see if they're still in production or not, or what I would need to do now to actually dual boot with Linux on Mac. I've tried virtual machines and had some limited extent success with virtual machines, but I'd like to experiment a little more and see if I can get Linux working. And I'm a big Antergos fan, and I know being Arch Linux based that I probably will have a little bit more success with Antergos. The problem I'm wondering about is high DPI support. I know Linux Mint has great high DPI support, and I'm almost considering going the Mint route again just to see what that would be like. Or Ubuntu, something like Fedora, that would be another option. But I want it to be something that is usable. I'm familiar with all of those distributions, but I've had limited success with some of them. So looking at Antergos, I know it seems to be something that works well out of the box for most people. A lot of things seem to be working. I've heard about replacing things like LightDM with GDM. That seems to work better, supposedly. As on Mac hardware. So some minor tweaking here, but it doesn't seem like all that much of work to get it up and running on my MacBook. And as an open source enthusiast, it just gives me another project to sort of research. And I think I'm going to come back to this in another future episode of this podcast and let you know how it goes. I don't want to remove OS X or even limit my OS X install, because I do use Mac on a regular basis. But I'd be curious to see how much has changed since 2010-ish when I was experimenting with Linux on Mac, and even 2012 probably I was using Mac and Linux on my older computer. So I'd be curious how much has changed with the newer hardware. I know it tends to take a little while before drivers and such are working. I'd be really curious about battery life and that type of thing when it comes to using Linux on Mac. I know in the past we're using applications like TLC and that such seemed to help. But I came across an article, 8 operating systems that for your Mac that actually work. And I was a little kind of thrown off by some of the suggestions. You know, they obviously threw out Windows 10 as one. The latest version of Ubuntu was one. And Linux Mint, you know, these are things that, suggestions that I expected, or elementary OS. But then all of a sudden this article started talking about things like Puppy Linux and Cloud Ready and Remix OS that we've talked about. And I'm sort of skeptical. I've reviewed those products recently, and I think some of them are really great products. I would be really curious when it comes to things like trackpad support and trackpad gestures and that type of stuff, because I don't think they would be there at all. So let me know out there if you have tried Linux on Mac recently, within the last year or so. How much success you've had, and which distro you have used. I'm not opposed to trying other distros out there. I may experiment a little bit and see where it goes. And if you have some comments on that, what I'd like you to do, go over to mrptechreviews.com, hit the contact form, and shoot me a message, and just let me know your success story, and if you've had run into any problems, that type of thing. Ultimately, what I would love to do is have this set up, and if I could get Thunderbolt working with my audio devices with this really great Mac hardware, I would love to try to record some concerts live in just running everything completely in Linux and open source. And that would be my goal, but I don't know if I'm ready to change my live setup just yet. So it'd be an experiment, and it would be something kind of for fun. And that's why I do this. That's why I'm podcasting, is to try these things for fun and see how they work. And if they don't work right away, you know, 6 months down the road, they might work, or another year down the road, and I'm in no hurry. This is all fun stuff for me. You know, this is all stuff that I enjoy. It's pretty amazing how far the technology has come and just the limited amount of time that I've been using Linux. And, you know, people out there listening have been using Linux much longer than I have. Again, I started in 2009. But just in that time, it blows me away on how much has changed. I can't imagine people who have used Linux in the late 90s, if they were to come and check out Linux now, they would probably be blown away by what they see. And that's going to do it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I will let you know my success over the next week or so. Next week, we're celebrating 1 year of the MRP Tech Podcast. So I'm anxious to do that. And if we get through the upcoming snowpocalypse, we're expecting about 2 feet of snow where I live. So we'll definitely be out with the snowblower over the next few days. And so thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time.